You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right.
Drive underway right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Chance and the Bear coming to you live from your Friday home of the Drive. National RX, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy. You come in here and check them out this weekend. All Drive listeners receive 10% off their over-the-counter purchases right here at National RX. Got a lot to offer for you as some of that nasty stuff still going around, man. A lot of you, you're like me, whenever the weather changes, I'm just dreading the sinus infection that I know I'm going to get sometime in the next month or two. Whenever spring hits, man, like, I get it, man. I'm on the severe sinus cold medicine or whatever. You can come get that here. They've got the best prices. Can't be beat. National Law Rex right here in Farragut, 11134 Kingston Pike, next to Wendy's. And check out nationallawrex.com, their sister location, Volunteer Pharmacy, is in Hardin Valley. We were there last week. You'd stop by, let them know you're listening, support local radio, support local business here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Big story today, another bombshell drops in the NCAA FBI probe as players from at least a dozen D1 men's basketball programs have been identified as potentially breaking NCAA rules through violations that were uncovered by the FBI's investigation into corruption in the sport. Among the schools identified by Yahoo Sports today as having players who possibly violated NCAA rules include Duke, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, Michigan State, USC, and Kansas. So everybody freaking out today at those schools, trying to figure out how bad it could be. Of course, Auburn could be implicated in this as well. By the way, did you see Rick Barnes today, one of the 10 semifinalists for the Naismith Men's Coach of the Year Award? Bruce Pearl's also a candidate, so.
I don't think they're going to give it to Buck, do you?
I don't know. I don't even know who votes for that thing. So if it's their coaches, probably not. If it's writers, I don't know. Are writers biased for, or I'd say there are as many, you know, sheep like me who love Bruce Pearl as, you know, people that hate him on there. So I don't know if that balances out or not. I don't know. I think Matt Painter at Purdue is going to, you know, Jay Wright probably going to get some love there. I don't see Barnes or I see Pearl probably more deserving of it than Barnes.
He won't get it though because of the implications surrounding him probably.
I agree with Chance.
Yeah, but I mean, Jay Wright's caught up in this stuff too. Coach K, obviously, I don't think Coach K would win it anyway this year.
With Bristow and with his assistant already being arrested, that kind of hurts him a little bit more.
Yeah, the perception is there.
Yeah, the real perception, like, you know, Jay Wright, you know, he involved too, or his name is, because the Cal Lowry and the players that were on there. But with Bruce Pearl already having somebody that was on his staff that was, like, you know, one of the, you know, the focuses of this investigation, and the one of the big names, like, when the Fed showed up. So I think it might hurt him. It could even hurt him in, you know, the SEC Coach of the Year candidacy, although I think he'll probably get it, but it could. You never know. Writers, you know.
I can see Barnes getting it.
I've seen some of this feedback on I've seen some of these tweets about, you know, Kentucky doesn't have to worry about the NCAA, but the FBI is a different animal. I don't think – maybe we haven't done a good enough job of explaining this, or maybe it's just so confusing it's hard to understand. The FBI doesn't care about Kentucky. They consider Kentucky the victim in this case. The FBI does not care about NCAA rules. They care about
money.
Fraud.
and money and yeah, the money,
whether
that's
or not
being,
taxes have been paid on that money.
Well, that and they care, you know, they're saying that the schools, and I know we got lawyers, and if I'm misreading this, please call in and educate me, but they're saying that these agents and these shoe companies and these runners and whoever, these shady individuals, are conspiring to defraud these schools. If Kentucky were to get put on NCAA probation, they would lose millions of dollars in NCAA tournament revenue. So they're saying that by these people violating the NCAA rules, they're putting these schools at risk of losing millions of dollars. They're saying that the schools themselves are the victim. They don't care that the players are, like, the players are not in trouble here. Like, Bam Adebayo is not in trouble for taking money. He didn't break a law by taking that money. They broke the law. These agents broke the law by giving him that money and putting the schools at risk of financial repercussions.
Yeah, but the problem is there's two different things going on right now. This is what dropped today isn't the stuff with the shoe companies. The shoe companies is what has everybody, I think, like coaches and administrators terrified. It should. That's money went straight in the coaches' pockets.
Is that illegal? I mean, it's the same thing we're talking about.
I'd have to dig into it. I mean my knee-jerk reaction, it would be, yeah, otherwise they wouldn't be hiding it. Wouldn't you think? The numbers I heard with Patino, with Adidas, that, you know, $10,000 went to the basketball program and like either $1.8 or $2.8 million went in Patino's pocket from Adidas.
Do you think Adidas would be, I mean, do they have a spreadsheet like this agent had of money that they paid to?
I don't know if they would be that insanely stupid
because
to
that's
keep
how
records
they do
of illegal
it.
Cash payments.
But that's how they do it, right? They pay the coach, and who knows where it goes from there.
So that's the thing about the FBI and the IRS are really good. They've got really good accountants, forensic accountants that can figure out where it went. That's what you don't – I mean, and now they're screwed. I don't know. I mean, it's so toxic right now. I wonder if they just need to turn all the lights on and take a look under everything. Just completely blow it all up.
865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here this afternoon on The Drive, Tennessee plays at Ole Miss tomorrow, 1 o'clock tip, and we haven't really spoken about this game at all. Let's do that right now. Keys to the game. I think a lot the same as last week. I think that it's for us, when we're at our best, it starts in the paint. I think we have to dominate down low. I think that you want Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield taking the majority of the shots. So I think, you know, own the inside first and foremost. And then second of all, you know, guard play obviously is huge. And I think to narrow that down, Isaac, you know, the point guard matchup, Burnett is their best player. He had a rough game here. I like to think Tennessee had something to do with that with our defense. But Bone, JD3, going to have to continue to give you something on there. I think if we do that, I think if Grant and Admiral show up to play and own the paint and we get – decent point guard play and at least battle with them to a draw at that position, I think we should be all right tomorrow.
Well, there. Yeah.
You disagree?
A lot of guard play. You want to see more than 23 points that you got out of your guards, you know, a couple nights back. Admiral and Grant, they played well. Not really worried about those guys. But Grant Williams still has to play well. If he doesn't play well, that's when Tennessee struggles the most and they can't win ball games. But you want to see more from Bone. Just all the guards. Like, all the guards have to wake up. Like, they really do. I mean, besides Turner. Turner's been playing pretty good basketball the entire season. Even though he only had 5 points the other night, he still shot 50% from the field, 2 of 4, and he also hit his only three-pointer. He had 2 assists, no turnovers, I believe. So, yeah, I just want to see more from the Bone, Bowden, and JD3, because JD3, I thought, was trying.
Yeah, man,
I thought he was turning the page. And
he
had
a rough couple of games.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be their point guard, you know, heading into the tournament play in March Madness. He was going to be the guy that would be getting most of the minutes and just, you know, distributing and being floor general.
All right, we'll get to these phones here in just a second. One quick thought, though, before we do.
Mm-hmm.
Could this mess with the NCAA, with the FBI, could that benefit Tennessee in our pursuit of Anfernee Simons? One of the schools, he's only visited two schools, Tennessee and NC State. NC State is, they're in it deep, right? I mean, that the Dennis Smith Jr. kid, the guy who what it was, everybody's got their talent.
I just got done saying the schools aren't in trouble,
but the not from the FBI, not from this. If the NCAA comes in and what says, yeah, let us look at those documents, then they would have to be. I mean, this dude, they say that this guy received $73,500
from an agent.
Yeah, he's ineligible. That tends to be frowned upon.
Well, yeah, I get that, but what's it? I mean, I'm not.
If they say that he was ineligible the year he played at NC State, they could potentially face probation.
I don't think they're going to put it. You really think they're going to put people on probation?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Could this help us if they get embroiled in a mess? I don't know what's going to happen, man. I don't know how hard the NCAA is going to come down, if they're going to do it soon, if they're going to do it over a prolonged period of time. But NC State is one of the major schools to see their names on this. Can't hurt. Can't hurt, because we're so far, knock on wood, clean.
Right.
In this whole situation.
I think it's going to come down to where his draft projection is. From what my associate Chance has told me.
Chance?
Yeah. I mean, Simons, do I think that it could affect? I mean, it's possible it could, but yeah, I mean, like what I said when we talked about him last week, I think if he's a first round pick, there's no reason for him to come. Just the guaranteed money in the first round is worth it.
Let's get Jeff in here. Jeff, you're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good evening, guys. I was going to comment on the game this weekend, but Chance, I gotta disagree with you. I mean, the money between, you know, 6 to 11 and 18 to 30 is completely different. I mean, you talk about a 1 year projection, you know, you play 1 year, you show that you're the real deal. I mean, you can make $10 million. I mean, rather than
you're right about that. I'm more or less talking about just the money from him going to him going to college. Yeah, getting the money now as opposed to, you know, not what he's going to make where he's drafted. I'm just talking about just money in general, him getting paid instead of coming to college and not getting
sure.
paid.
Sure. Yeah, no, well, I agree with that. Yeah, that's a million or two is a lot better than a big old goose egg what he would make at Tennessee. So, yeah, I saw that Bam and of course, Trey Knox took a meal, and Alex Sexton, what's his name? The Alabama Colin Sexton is, I mean, I'm curious what's going to go on with that deal. I mean, are they going to hold him out, or are they going to hold Trey Knox until he pays back his meal? I mean, what's the deal there?
How much did Sexton, is Sexton accused of getting?
I mean, it's thousands of dollars. It's like, I thought it was like 16,000 or something along those lines.
I have to pull back up the story.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know that if it's repaid, I think that you can be, as long as it's repaid
up to a level. If it's like $200, so like the guys that are just like they bought him dinner, they went to a steakhouse or whatever, they can pay that back. And I think that might have been what happened with Sexton at the beginning of the year when he was sitting out. But I mean, when you talk about thousands, you know, several thousand dollars, then that's a bigger deal.
Yeah,
well, hopefully. I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of him. The guy seems like a good player, but this whole showboating deal against Tennessee, I mean, obviously I wasn't real crazy about that, but it was a little petty, I feel like, the antics in the Tennessee game. So I hope he crashes and burns. I mean, at least from Alabama, the guy's gonna be a millionaire next year, so it doesn't matter.
You're right. It's so petty, but I had the same reaction, man. When I see a dude faking behind the back passes against my team, it's, oh man, that hot dog! You can't do that. They oughta, I don't know, whatever they ought to do. But when it's Juwan Smith throwing an alley-oop to himself off the backboard, it's like, yeah, Yeah.
That was
get
nice.
You some of that.
That's minor.
Well, I'm all for it. No, well, I agree. I'm all for, like, you know, if you're going to take advantage of an opportunity, do it, you know. But a concerted effort on a couple of few occasions, you know, the behind-the-back little switcheroo, that was almost necessary. Yeah. That was an awesome layup. But the whole dribble behind your back to yourself, like, and just sort of, you know, when I forget who it was, someone picked his pocket. And, went, and of course, I think it was maybe Bone just blew a layup, picked his pocket, blew a layup, and he got all, like, hyped up, like he caused Bone to miss a layup. It was like, what are you doing? But no, real quick on the game this weekend, you know, I think I'm ready to see Lamonte Turner start in Bowden's spot. I mean, love the kid, but if Bowden's going to play like a walk-on, he's got to sit the bench. If he's going to play like, you know, Juwan Jennings, not Juwan Jennings, my God, sorry, Juwan Smith walk-on, then play him. I mean, the guy's been Brick City a little bit too much for me, and at this point with our guard issues, I really think we need some more consistency there. Let's see what Turner does off the bench, and maybe Bowden does better coming off the bench. I don't really know. What's your thought on that? Great show.
Thank you, Jeff. I've had the same thought. And at the end of the day, I guess to me, it just doesn't matter who starts, because it matters who finishes the game. And they've both been playing on the court. Like it seems like more often than not, when we're in a tight game, Lamonte and Bowden are both on the court. It seems like we're going three guards and Admiral and Grant down low.
Yeah.
So as long as he's getting plenty of minutes, it's not that big a deal to me. I mean, they're almost interchangeable. I almost feel like, you know, they're both good defenders. Bowden is a little bit longer. I feel like Bowden shoots the three better at home and Lamonte shoots it better on the road for some reason. But at the end of the day, I mean, to me, what matters is, you know, who's getting the lion's share of the minutes, and they're both playing about the same right now. Barnes will tell you that Bowden is our best perimeter defender. So obviously that counts for a lot. Jeff, thanks, man. We're going to take a quick break right here. It is The Drive live this afternoon. National Law Rex in Farragut. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Rex and the cruising with you here as the sun begins to descend. It's Friday afternoon here in East Tennessee. Barry, you got an Olympic update for us?
Yeah. Not. I told you I don't. We don't do it on remote.
Why?
Because I can't hear the music. Does that echoey thing? So we don't do it on Fridays. I told
really?
You this last Friday.
Sounds like a bear rule.
We really? Went through this last Friday.
I don't understand. This is the last chance. We're not doing one Monday.
Yeah, we are.
The Olympics are over Sunday.
We're doing our Monday wrap-up.
It's over.
We're doing the Monday wrap-up.
Okay, well, I'll give you the Monday one. Okay. This is the last chance, man. You got two chances. I'm giving you a chance to
I'm
shine.
I'm a little
here.
Disappointed in the American
team. I feel like
team.
You just don't have a report ready.
I think that's what it
I
is. I think you got nothing because you didn't watch, because you're getting bored like the rest of us.
No, I didn't get bored.
Like the only
what did you watch last night?
Nothing. I went to sleep at like 8 o'clock.
That's why he doesn't have a report today.
That's why I didn't have a report.
The only
but it
thing,
wasn't because I was bored with it. I fell asleep and it was on. When I
can't
I woke
lie.
Up, the news was on.
It's pretty boring. The NHL dropped the ball by not allowing their players.
That's
to,
been a huge bummer, hadn't it?
Well, yeah. I would have watched more hockey if they would have allowed the NHL players to actually play. And secondly, the only thing the United States has been good at is the half pipe and snowboarding.
The X Games sports.
Well, because we created snowboarding.
just so we could have something to win a medal
so
in
that's
at the
why
Winter
we're,
Olympics.
I mean, the Norwegians invented cross-country skiing. We won a gold in that.
I mean, we're sweeping snowboarding because that's the one sport that we that,
y'all
the,
shame
that
me.
Americans have created.
I've got a Winter Olympics topic I would like to discuss.
Oh, this should be fun.
and it has to do with your Norwegians.
All right.
I read an article earlier this week by Dan Wetzel. He's on the list.
He is, isn't he?
About Norway, and they're winning, right? They have the most medals, Norway.
They're cleaning house. I don't care about silver and bronze, but they're cleaning up on golds.
One of the things the president of their Olympic committee is saying that helps them is the fact that they don't allow kids to keep score when they play sports until they're 13. He says that they don't let their kids keep score when they're doing games and stuff in Norway, whatever they're playing up there in Scandinavia. They don't let them keep score because they feel that it fosters
competitiveness.
Kids. No, that they you don't burn them out.
Oh.
They like to play and they just focus on the fun and being with their friends. And then later they introduce the competitiveness to them. They feel like, and I feel like he might be on. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep score in youth league soccer, baseball games, whatever. I'm just saying.
Sounds kind of un-American.
That there are a lot of kids who get burned out, I think.
Oh, yeah.
7, 8, 9 years old when they're crazy dads most of the time. Are the you know, forcing them on it and saying, you got to try harder, Junior. You got to score more. You got to do this. You got to do that. And they're like, I'm dad. I'm 8.
I think that and the over specialization. Like when I was a kid, everybody played every sport, depending on what the season was. Fall football, winter basketball, spring baseball, summer swimming or track. Something year round.
What do you think? Check it or wreck it. We shouldn't allow kids to keep score in organized sports until they turn 13.
I'm going to wreck it.
About 10.
I'd say like, probably not until about 8. I mean, there's like, I didn't start playing travel baseball until I was 13, but now kids start playing at like 8, and mm-hmm. there's some pretty competitive kids on some of these teams, like these travel.
Kids having Tommy John surgery
so,
at 13.
I don't know. I think that.
Is that when you quit playing other sports when you joined the travel team?
No, I played basketball in high school, but I gave up on football at an early age. But, yeah.
That's a big mistake.
I would say that maybe 8, when you really should probably focus on, you know, actually, because that's when you start to learn the rules. I felt like that's when it started getting serious for me. I was around 8 years old because, you know, when you're playing T-ball and kids are playing that flag football that they play now and Pop Warner and stuff before they actually put on pads, like they don't know anything about the rules. Like some kids do, and those are the very, like the kids with the high IQs, but 90% of the kids don't know. I'd say like not till 8 or 9.
I just remember being on a soccer team when I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, you didn't know
old.
Anything about strategy.
But, that, like, looking back on it, but I just remember at the time there was this other team. They were the yellow team, darn it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like all the friends and like all the parents got together on this one team and they just slaughtered everybody.
Yeah,
and it was so frustrating.
And they loved it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was so frustrating, man.
I had like, no, I'm saying those people loved it.
I was on a team with a bunch of kids I didn't know and we had fun and everything. It was just a running around.
Like the Bad News Bears?
No, we were just an average team. But like this other team would go like 10-0 every year.
Ain't no lie.
It was annoying.
Whenever I was growing up playing Little League, I didn't start getting chunky to around, I guess, like 9, 10. And then I was on the team with my friends and, like, you know, like everybody in the community. And then, like, my dad stopped politicking and doing stuff like that. So then I got put in the draft one year and I wasn't on the Cubs anymore with my friends and squad. And then,
oh, really?
And then I got to 14, slimmed down, came back, and there was like, whoa. And then they wanted me. I was like,
also,
nah.
They wanted you.
I was like, nah. And I
stuck with the team that got you there.
I stayed
okay.
with my team that got me there.
I was on some bad teams growing up.
And
man.
We won the league title, and your boy had the highest batting average in the league. I was like, nah, you want me when I've slimmed down now? Can't have me. Can't have me. It's a true story. Can't have me. I didn't want to play with my friends anymore.
He's like the girl that was a late bloomer, and all of a sudden she's beautiful, and all the guys want it. But she sticks with the high school sweet. The guy who was a little bit overweight, had a bad acne problem, whatever, but he loved her for who she was on the inside.
Now, those were still my best friends on that team that was – all my friends were on this one team, but now I was like, nah, I'm riding with these guys now. I'm starting something new. This is my team now.
They like me when I was chunky.
Didn't want me for those
Your
2 years.
Your big bone, Chance.
It was for like 3 years. They didn't want me. They put me in the draft.
If Chance Collins had played for the Cavs, there's no way he would have gone down to the Heat and started a super team like that.
Never.
Chump LeBron.
Never.
He would have stayed and earned it.
That's right. Would have made it my own.
Huh. He's a throwback.
In that sense, you're definitely right.
I played on some bad teams, man. Were you ever on a bad team where like just
the team,
terrible?
The team that they put me in the draft that year when your boy got chunky, we won one game. But I was the best player on that team all
season. One game on a baseball? Of like how many games?
Out of 12, so one of 11.
That's not bad.
I was on a basketball team, won one game.
I mean, it's pretty bad when all your friends are on the other good teams.
I was on a basketball team that didn't win a game.
Wow.
I think the two free throws got us
that's
one
pretty bad. Torched. No, that's pretty bad. I've never been on a team where we didn't win one game.
I mean, this was like in this was like a rec league I was in I don't know, probably middle school.
Yeah.
And I mean, we routinely lose by like 40, really 40 or 50 like, points.
Really?
Just getting drilled.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have taken that. Yeah, I never was on the team that was the only year I actually was on a team that was in dead last. And we won one game.
I was on one of the I don't know. That was the team I was on. We were one of the best in the city for like 8 years running.
That was the team I was on where I had my most embarrassing athletic moment. I've told it on the show several times. It's been a while, so.
Did your pants fall down?
I get the ball. No, I'm driving baseline to the hoop, and I wasn't fundamentally sound at this point. I didn't know the fundamentals of the game. What? What do you think I did?
You went for a layup and you bounced the ball off the bottom of the backboard, didn't you?
Close. Worse than that.
You airballed.
I bounced the ball off the wrong side of the backboard.
Oh man.
Okay, here's what happened.
On the back side.
Yeah, here's what happened. Listen. So I drive and again I'm unfundamentally sound. I leave my feet without a plan.
Yep. Never leave your feet in basketball.
Yeah. It was a bad coach, man. He never told me that. I didn't know. I had to learn the hard way.
Unless you're gonna go
so,
and shoot.
Listen, I leave my feet and I'm in that area behind the basket and the baseline. Where a court extends, and I jump, and I don't know what to do, and I'm falling because I don't have a hop, and so I just shoot anyway. I just shot.
And you just shot it off the back of the backboard.
Like I'm thinking it's gonna go through the backboard or something. I don't know. I just shot, man.
That's pretty. Wow.
What do you do? What do you do? And so I shot, and here's the worst part. Here's the worst part, man. As I land. The guy who's guarding me, I still see his face. He stops with a confused – he looks up. The ball goes out of bounds. He looks up with a confused look on his face. Then he looks at me, and he just starts laughing.
Yeah.
He laughed at me.
I think everybody has an embarrassing moment. I had a couple moments in baseball, but basketball, I had a good one. It was in high school. And, like, end of the half, and you're trying to throw a full court heave, and I threw a bit like – it's in the rafters because I got a really strong arm.
Well,
so
that's
like,
not too bad, man.
I mean, like, it was really like
– you're just like, oh, I didn't know how strong I was.
That is kind of – all my friends were laughing, though. I'm trying to
bounce it off the back of the backboard.
I hit those lights in the rafters. You got to throw it pretty high to hit those lights,
yeah,
guys.
Like you said you were showing strength. Yeah. Russell just
– I scored wow. I seem to remember scoring an own goal in soccer once.
Oh, that's pretty embarrassing.
When we were little kids, so.
Yeah, yes, it don't matter.
The pros do that, right? I mean, that happens.
Yeah, that happens to the pros every
happened
now and
a month or two ago.
I mean, it happens a lot.
Own goal and shooting the ball at the wrong side of the backboard, man. That dude just laughed at me. He looked at me like, I can't believe this dude just shot at the wrong side of the backboard. I just have to, like, act like I'm not torn up inside. Like
no, you had to play
it off. Like it wouldn't affect me 25 years later. It wouldn't stay with me to this day.
You're still talking about it. Who hurts you?
But I've processed it now. You see,
the backboard hurt you.
I've processed it.
It's
I can laugh
fault,
at it.
Russ. It's not your fault.
It still hurts a little bit.
Hey man, things happen.
It's your fault.
Sometimes
your coach should have told you not to leave your feet. That's on your.
He should have, right?
He had a bad coach.
Fault. No, I don't remember some guy.
He had a bad coach.
I remember he like tried to he tried to teach us a motion offense.
Wow.
Really?
How'd
that work out?
As awful – we didn't win a game as awful as you think it would be.
Can't teach kids that can't win a game a motion offense. It's not going to work.
Can't teach a bunch of seventh graders.
Box and one thing was the only thing I ever remembered.
It's a defensive play.
Defensive
play.
There was some offensive play. It was – I don't know.
Box and one. It's funny you bring that up. I was a box and one specialist when in high school. No,
you were the one?
I was the defense guy. Yeah.
Really?
The best player, they'd say, go, we're going to run box and one because this guy's eating us up. I remember a dude from Harpeth, Josh Goodwin.
Harpeth.
Yeah.
Reliving the good old days
Triangle
on the drive.
Two, I was that guy.
We're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come back, get some more phone calls going. We'll find out Do a little check it or wreck it coming up next here on Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive continues. Stay with us.
The Drive. A sports radio experience like no other. This is The Drive. Check it or wreck it. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive.
Tennessee beat Ole Miss in Oxford.
Check. Ole Miss team kind of, they caught a little win after Andy Kennedy, it seems. You know, they got all that mess out of there. Maybe they were just worried about, what, you know, their coach leaving, so no distraction. But Tennessee's a much better team. 1 o'clock tip-off should be, you know, very alert and win this one easy.
I'm checking it as well. I think Tennessee's the better team, and I think you're to the point of the season where they know one false step, one false game could really come back to hurt them. So I would expect that we will get our best effort tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I think we're going to pound them.
Tennessee will emerge unscathed by the College Hoops FBI scandal.
Yeah, big check. Tennessee's going to remain unscathed. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you might hear something about Miles Turner, but I don't think Barnes – and I think Texas would have to reap the ramifications of that if it comes out. But, yeah, I think Tennessee's good to go.
It's interesting. Texas was involved today, but it was for a player that Shaka Smart signed.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to check it as well. We haven't heard even a whisper. It seems like usually you hear, you get a little heads up, like this guy, you know, he don't be surprised to see his name. And I have not heard any of that.
You waiting on me?
Yeah.
I thought I'd already checked it. I didn't think we're going to get in trouble.
Kentucky will emerge unscathed by the college basketball scandal.
I'm going to check it. I mean, I think that a lot of these teams are going to come way unscathed. I think what you're saying, maybe how do they fix it? They might go behind doors and they sit down with these coaches and programs, but NCAA doesn't
listen,
want any
guys,
more.
Listen, guys, we got to cut out the shenanigans. Yeah, like, they're on to us.
The NCAA doesn't want any more negative attention, and they can't take Kentucky out the mix. Like, they can't.
I'm going to wreck it. I think they're going to get, you know, when I say unscathed, I mean, that's subjective, obviously. I think they're going to get whatever Duke and North Carolina end up getting. And
slaps
it might,
on the wrist.
Yeah, it might be vacated wins. It might be, you know, minor recruiting restrictions or something like that. But I can't imagine that they're going to allow this to, you know, just tarnish everybody's reputation and have Hall of Fame coaches have to resign in disgrace because of it.
Yeah, I think they're going to get hammered. I think they're going to have to hammer the Blue Bloods on this.
Really?
Yeah.
Superman is overrated as a superhero.
Overrated?
Overrated.
I'm going to wreck that. He's a Man of Steel.
I'm wrecking it as well. I mean,
he can fly.
He has all the powers.
He can go back in time.
There's nothing that Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, there's nothing
until
those guys bring out Superman
until you bring out a rock.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And the rock is the kryptonite.
If it's kryptonite.
Yeah, it's basically
it's
a rock
thing
from the.
Yeah, it can hurt him.
So yeah, one thing.
Yeah, but
lots of things can hurt Batman.
Let's not act like kryptonite's easy to find, Chance.
I'm going
to
wreck
out of here.
Because Lex Luthor says otherwise. Yeah, I'm going to wreck it. I think that you got Iron Man, you got Luke Cage. I mean, we're talking about these are like everyday guys who are superheroes that are smart. Iron Man, also Black Panther. He's smart, wealthy, and he's powerful. So, yeah, there's a lot of other superheroes. I mean, better than Superman, yes. Wolverine.
Well, that, like,
you heard of him? You heard of him? He's a wolf.
He's better
he's
than
a
Superman.
Wolf.
Really?
He's not really technically a wolf. He's a Wolverine.
It's a totally don't separate animal. You know what I understand mean. All this backlash against Superman. What did Superman ever do?
He's kind of weak. He's
kind of weak. He's the Man of Steel. He's the strongest superhero out there.
He's kind of jumped the shark, Russell. He's kind of jumped the shark.
Give me the classics all day long. That is Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Remind you, if you end up injured in an accident and you need legal representation, call on OEB. They'll come to you and turn your wreck into a check. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill can help you with a variety of legal services. If you need help getting disability benefits, for instance, they can help with that too. If you can't work and need to get those benefits, then call today and let OEB help you get the benefits you deserve. 865-546-1111 is their phone number, and online at reckintoacheck.com. Superman wouldn't get caught cheating. Just say that.
Yeah, he did.
All these other
Superman 3.
How did he get caught cheating?
Remember when he got the bad kryptonite and he was hanging out with a blonde floozy and he was cheating on Lois Lane?
He
means like cheating, like the NCAA.
So those are two things. Two things that can get Superman. But
cheating on his girl.
Yeah, women.
Women.
Yeah.
And kryptonite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, man.
Undefeated.
Superman wouldn't have to cheat, right?
That's what you think.
When you're perfect.
Remember, his dad wouldn't let him play.
All the other superheroes are flawed, right? And, you know, they've all got personal problems or they've all done something wrong.
I don't Batman, really recall Aquaman having a lot of deep
Wolverine
issues.
Had, shady, dark secrets from their past, things like that. Superman. Dad left him, sent him to Earth. I don't know. Is that how it went down?
Yes.
Yeah, because the planet was blowing up.
Mm-hmm. Did what he had to do.
He saved him.
He was
Jor-El.
Raised under trying circumstances
by regular folk,
and he rose up and he achieved anyway. Didn't hold it against his old man. Went up to the Fortress of Solitude, saw him in the ice there.
Became a journalist.
Got a good job. I don't even know if Superman went to college for that. It's like he just he went from playing.
He showed up at the Daily Planet one day.
He went from Smallville to working at the big city newspaper.
Oh yeah.
Metropolis.
Hitting on Lois Lane. Doing his thing, man. Never let anything get him down. Never let the unrequited love get to him. Just went out there, and you know what he did? Did his job. Yeah. Worked at the paper and saved people in his spare time.
I feel like he kind of had a little insecure, though. Couldn't get Lois as Clark Kent. Had to get her Superman. And then bring her back to the Clark Kent side. A little insecure. He's a show-off.
Like show off. Like you wouldn't have.
He's a little bit of a show off.
Like you wouldn't have. Like you wouldn't have utilized your superpowers to get chicks. That's like all you would have done. Chance, I know you.
You pretended to like emo music.
There's somebody getting held up at a local Piggly Wiggly. I can't intervene. I got a date tonight. He'll be all right.
Yeah. That's kind of how you got to go about it.
Superman. This is what I'm talking about,
Superman's
man.
A chump.
Superman, no, he's a man of integrity. Man of steel, a man of integrity. That's what he was.
Was he?
That's what he was.
He was his own source as a journalist. Was he integrity? Like, kind of like lied like he was friends with Superman. He was Superman. He said, Superman's my friend. Yeah, there's a lot of holes.
No, he wasn't lying. It was a live omission. Superman was his friend. He had a better line on Superman than anybody else at that paper, including Lois Lane.
Because he was the damn Superman.
Exactly.
Didn't he always help Lois out with the stories? He'd give her quotes from Superman?
He'd feed her a scoop here or there.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know.
Took care of his girl.
A lot of lying from Superman. What you see is what you get from the rest of the superheroes. I mean, Superman has a lot.
Do you want Superman to not be able to have any kind of private life at all? You want him to just live his whole life
Iron
on
Man,
Front Street?
Iron Man doesn't have a private life. Tony Stark?
Sure he does.
Stark Incorporated?
You just go
Anybody
home
know
and
Tony
hang out
Stark
with Pepper?
Was Iron Man?
Just get to go back and hang out with
Pepper. Yeah, see, that's the thing about real superheroes. Like, everybody knows that he's a superhero. He's not hiding.
He's a real superhero.
He's not hiding.
His nuclear reactor heart? How's that work in real life?
He's not hiding the fact that he's a superhero. So those DC comics, that's what they do.
So, I mean, if you had a superpower, would you hide it?
No.
You would just brandish. You'd be like,
be on display.
Guess what? I'm Iron Man.
Because I've got the power. Yeah. Definitely. What's he doing?
I don't know.
It was supposed
are
to be
we either. Boring you?
No,
are you watching,
it popped up.
You're watching a game?
I'm watching the last 20 seconds of the number one game for 10 years ago. It popped up. I wanted to see.
He's watching YouTube while we're doing a radio show.
It was on Twitter, man. It autoplayed on me.
You know you can turn that off, right?
Look how beautiful Bruce looks.
What if I told you one of the following three pieces of information 10 years ago tonight? That Bruce Pearl's not that Bruce Pearl's at Auburn, John Calipari's at Kentucky, and Rick Barnes is at Tennessee. What would you have found the most unbelievable?
That Bruce Pearl would be at Auburn because they're a garbage basketball school.
Yeah, me too. I could see Cal going to Kentucky.
I could see us getting Rick Barnes somehow. He's from Hickory, and he's a, you know, one of the least surprising hires that we've ever done. It just worked out that he was available when we.
Do you think there's any way Bruce Pearl would resign at the end of the year rather than force them to fire him?
I think he would resign rather than answer any kind of question. His attorney told him not to answer.
Just go ahead and hang it up. He's about 60 years old now. I mean,
is he that old?
It's a good career. He's had a good run, late 50s.
I don't know, man. I hate seeing him like this. He's got a great team this year.
Would you like to see him make it to
the Final Four?
He's not going to prison or anything like his assistant might. But, I mean, if worse ways to go out. You fought the good fight.
You almost cried one afternoon on the show. You hated seeing him with a bad basketball team.
But he doesn't have one anymore. He coached him up. He brought him back to prominence.
Now he's going to get it stripped away from him again, just like it happened here. He's a tragic figure, Rob. He's a tragic figure.
No, tragic figure would have been him going down there and never getting it rolling and throwing up another 12-18 team and then being like, of course they're going to fire you now because not only are you a cheater, but you suck. That would have been tragic. I almost think there's something, I won't say heroic. What's the word I'm looking for? There's something almost kind of poetic about Bruce. It's like, yeah.
Flat circle kind of thing with Bruce. Nothing ever changes.
Right on, my brother. Right on, Bruce. Right off into the cheating sunset. Stay with us. The conclusion of the drive coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. You're listening to The Drive. Get some.
Tennessee-Memphis game. We just watched that here at National RX during the break. And Bear, how would you describe the handshake between Bruce Pearl and John Calipari as the game ended and Tennessee took their cookies and became number one?
Brief.
Very brief.
Barely touched.
It was almost as short as a Rick Pitino tryst at an Italian restaurant. I mean, that was quick.
Shorter than that, though.
That was quick.
It was like a half a second.
It was
like you could tell. The only thing they would have had time to say is, "I hate you. I hate you too."
They didn't even have that time. It's like Calipari did not want to make eye contact.
He just lost. Bruce Pearl just came in his house
and said, "I'm the captain now. This is my state."
And took his girl on the way out.
Oh man,
she's coming with me.
Yeah, they're just—they're not really friends,
huh?
How awesome was that?
They've never really liked each other, have they?
I don't think so. No, I don't think they like each other at all.
You know, Barnes claims to get along with Cal, but I distinctly remember that first game this year when they were down here. He was screaming at Cal. Crazy guy going.
I think he was mad about the situation. I don't think it's ever personal with Rick Barnes. I don't think anybody dislikes him.
You think he's like Alex Jones? He just blows his top and he's like, I'm sorry.
I don't think he really blows his top. I think he just gets intense.
You need to go back and watch that game, man. He was raging.
I think he was just confused at the situation, didn't know what was going on, thought his team was getting hosed. I think, because we saw, if you watched have you guys seen the Tennessee Inside thing that SEC Network did this week?
Not yet.
They show he's mic'd up. And he walks up to Cal and their pregame handshake, and they have a long, friendly conversation before the game up there. No, I think they're cool. I think they're both.
Did you see his comments today on all this stuff?
Calipari, a little bit.
No, Barnes.
What did he say?
Basically, he just kept reiterating, "I'm not surprised by anything in college basketball. I didn't know anything about it, but I'm not surprised."
Barnes is an interesting guy because you know that he holds – it's weird. For a guy who tells it like it is in the media the way he does and answers questions straight, which is refreshing, you also know that there's a lot he holds back.
He's a stand-up guy. He doesn't snitch.
Hey, Bruce Pearl.
I mean, not even that. I just think that Barnes worries about what he can control and in-house. He worries about his house. He ain't worried about everybody else's house, too.
He ain't going to tell on anybody.
Rick Barnes will write an interesting book when he retires.
If he does.
He won't ever write it, though, because he cares about what he can – he's just that guy.
Well, I'm saying, you know, it doesn't have to be a John Calipari look at me like I'm the second coming of John Wooden, I'm so smart book. I would like to – you know, just his experiences in the game, all the places
he's
been.
Yeah, things like that, okay.
You know, his run-in with Dean Smith, coaching Kevin Durant. Did he cheat? Did he cheat in recruiting? I feel like – once it's done, I almost feel like he would admit it. Like,
maybe you should write
that book. If it doesn't get anybody else in trouble, well, yeah, I don't know. Like,
why don't you write? Dig into it.
Because I don't know.
He
would have to open that vein. I don't know.
I don't think he did. Like, KD wanted to go to Texas, wanted to get the hell out of DC.
But here's, again, to get back to the story of the day. The other part of the crime here is that and what Cal said today and what Kansas has said and what they're all going to say is, okay, this stuff happened. I didn't know anything about it.
No,
I didn't do anything. Our staff didn't do anything. These are third parties who were trying to sign these kids when they went to the NBA, and I had no idea, which I think all three of us would agree is complete nonsense.
Nobody's buying it,
but they can't prove it.
But they can't prove exactly because they've done such a good job of keeping their hands clean. Like, these coaches knew. Bill Self was asked like a week and a half ago whenever it said prominent teams, the top teams in the tournament are going to, you know, whenever Pete Thamel's first story came out. And he said, well, I sure hope not. No, from all accounts, we've done things the right way. Tom Izzo, from all accounts, we've done things the right way in my tenure. Rick Pitino, the vampire, who's still trying to go down in flames, from all accounts, we've done things the right way ever since I've been a coach. You're going to hear the same song and dance from all these coaches, like you said, because they can't find a paper trail back to the coaches.
Yeah, but that's why I said this one's just tip of the iceberg. The big one's going to come when the shoe companies, because that money can be traced back to them. Guarantee you.
I don't think so either. I think a couple coaches might go down, but no.
Like, well, see, that's what happened to Pitino, but it sounds like they got him dead to rights on that one because it sounds like they got him on tape on a phone call.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it for us, obviously. Roger, sorry we don't have time for you. Hang on. I'm sure the overtime guys will be glad to take your phone call. That's going to do it. Chance Fair, I want National Director, having us. The Drive.